And I just could only hope that it would challenge your heart in really just a small way as it did mine. If it just a little bit challenges your heart as the major part that it did mine, then I believe that, well, mission would be accomplished. We're getting ready to go into a new section in the book of Romans. We've talked in the first three sections. We talked in chapters 1 through 3 about condemnation, dealing with sin. And then we talked about justification in chapters 4 and 5, dealing with salvation. And then we just finished up that third section, Romans 6 through 8, and that deals with sanctification as we deal with separation. We talked about how to live the victorious Christian life. Victorious Christians always have what I'm going to preach to you today, and that is a burden for lost people. Now, I understand the context of the scripture that we're getting ready to move into. As a matter of fact, Romans 9, 10, and 11 form another section in the book of Romans. It deals with dispensation as it deals with God's sovereignty. So we're moving from condemnation to justification to sanctification. And then Paul, it's almost like he gets parenthetical. He says, I want to digress a little bit and talk about Israel. I want to talk about the Israelites. And I want to talk about their position before the Messiah. Now, within that, of course, we see where the church, the times of the Gentiles, and we'll get to this as we get on over into chapter number 11. We find that where salvation is for all people. It's not just for the Jews only. Now, it's to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. I'm glad that God wants to see everybody get saved. Amen. My question to you is, do you want to see everyone get saved? Now, it'd be easy to answer that question, say, well, sure, I want to see everybody get saved. Well, what are you doing about it? You see, we it's easy to say, I'm for missions. You know, I want to see people around the world get saved. Well, what are you doing to ensure that happens? So, well, I gave a little money to missions. Okay. Well, giving a little token offering is good. Have you prayed for a missionary this week? Have I? Have we prayed the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest? You see, it's easy to say what we love and what we're for, but my questions this morning, and I'm going to ask many, are, does our conscience bear witness with the Holy Ghost? Notice what Paul said here. He said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. Listen, Paul said, I've examined myself. And what I'm getting ready to say to you, I believe in my heart. I see the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness. You know, sometimes we could do this now. We've done it before, personally and collectively. We could say, how many of us have a burden for souls? Now, wait a minute. Don't raise your hand. Don't nod your head. But if we were to take a show of hands, we would almost feel compelled to raise our hand, like I've got to. I can't say I don't have a burden for souls. I'm a Christian. Right? And what will the people around me think if I don't raise my hand? I have a burden for souls. But notice what Paul says. He said, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He said, in other words, if I were to raise my hand to that, the Holy Ghost might say, now, wait a minute. You have a burden? Is this a dutiful burden that you have? Is this just a burden that comes when you get asked the question? Yeah. And the Holy Ghost can convict us in our heart and say, well, you know, maybe I don't have a burden. Maybe I know I should, and that's what compels me to raise my hand. I don't know. Listen, I don't know what's in people's heart. I know what's in my heart sometimes. But God knows what's in my heart all the time. And God knows what's in your heart all the time. And so here's a man that has come through, and basically what this is going to be is, listen, we're all sinners. And that's the way the book of Romans starts out. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. That's not a very good picture, but he changes and he says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we have this message that Paul is given to us, and he said, now that you realize that all men, in Romans 3:19, the whole world is guilty before God, brethren. Get this. Grab hold of it this morning. Everyone is born into sin. Everyone, not just some people, not just most people. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not just people in the projects. Not just people in the third world countries. Hear me this morning. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. We're indebted to God. We can't pay the price. That debt is far beyond what we are capable of paying. But Christ has come. And it's God's will that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's word, brethren. And basically what Paul's going to do is, he's saying here, now that you have the truth, what are you going to do with it? Now that I realize some things, Paul said, now that I've been born again, and he was converted on the road to Damascus, and it changed his life, it changed his perspective. And so he said, first of all, and this, I hope you'll write, I just want to give you about four words today. Conscientious. We need to be conscientious that there's people all around us that are dying in their sin and going to hell. You met some folks last week. You probably met some folks this morning on the way to church, depending on the route that you took, that are dying in their sin, and if they do not get saved, they will go to hell. Hell is real. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Hell is real, brethren. It's real. And so if we really believe that, if we really believe that all are under the penalty of sin, and except a man be born again, as Jesus said in John 3, he shall not see the kingdom of God. If we really believe this, then it's time to take action. And we have to really come clean with ourselves. I don't mean come clean with the preacher. The preacher has to come clean with himself on this. I don't mean come clean with a church or a church family, but I mean come clean before God. Come clean myself. Do I have a burden for souls? Am I concerned that people who die in their sin without Christ will go to a Christless eternity and they will burn in hell? You say, preacher, surely in 2023, in this advanced society, in this educated culture in which we live, in this woke society, you're not going to stand up there in this politically correct society in which we live and say that people without Jesus are going to die in their sin and go to hell. I am going to say it because the Word of God proclaims it. And I believe the Bible, brethren. I believe the Word of God. I believe every word of it. And if God said men without Christ go to hell, then men without Christ go to hell. It doesn't matter what a Baptist preacher says if it doesn't line up with what the B-I-B-L-E says. And so Paul said this. He said, I want you to realize there's a conscientiousness about this thing called eternity. Someone has said that as believers, we have the greatest mission, and that is evangelism. Amen. We have the greatest message, and that is the gospel. What greater message is there outside the gospel? There is, listen, there's no equal to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the greatest master, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing missing is us. We need to get involved. We need to be soul winners, seed sowers. We need to have a burden. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about a burden this morning. A burden. I read some things over the past couple of weeks. Wednesday night, I challenged our Wednesday night folks that were here as we were having prayer. Think of three people. I want to challenge you this morning. You think of three people that you know that if they do not get saved, they're going to this hell that the Bible calls eternal torment, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, outer darkness. It is real. It is real. Do you know three people that you could pray for that God would use you to try to prevent them from going to this place? They may be within your home. It may be a family member, a spouse, a child, a parent, a sibling. I don't know. It may be someone you work with. It may be a neighbor. I don't know. I know this. Most churches have turned to gadgets and gimmicks and entertainment. Can I tell you why? We've lost our tears. But nothing will substitute for tears. Nothing. We become a dry-eyed church in a hell-bent world. And we're trying to make people laugh when we need to be crying. Amen. It's serious stuff, brethren. It's serious. I'm for joy. I'm for laughter. I'm for good time. Listen, I'm not one of these kind of guys that's just going around trying to rob everybody of a good time. I'm not that. But I think if we're not careful, we'll get unbalanced, and all we want is entertainment. All we want is just to be having a good time. I'm not against a good time. I like having a good time just like you. But life is not all about having a good time. Life is about pleasing God. Life is about having a mindset that our Savior has. Life is about a concern over people. Here's a man that said in chapter 9, look at it again in verse 1, he said, I say the truth. Brethren, what I speak to you about this morning is the truth. Men without Christ will die and go to hell. Whether they believe it or not, that doesn't change the truth. Whether you believe it or not, whether I believe it or not, that doesn't change the truth. The truth is God said it, and it's so, whether we believe it or not. You know, there was a time when the Holy Ghost came down and the church went out and sinners came in. But we have gotten a little off track and a little unbalanced, and this is not to guilt trip someone. I want to help somebody this morning. I want you to do a self-examination. This is not about you examining me or me examining you. It's about the Word of God examining us all. We all need to be examined by the Spirit of God, and we need to ask, when's the last time that I shed a tear for somebody I know that's going to hell? And there was a day when the church was wailing and weeping over the souls of men, women, boys and girls. And it just appears that, well, we've lost a little of that. And Paul said it's time to become conscientious of that again. Look at what he said in verse 1. My conscience also bearing me witness. As I preach to you the Word of God this morning, is your conscience bearing you witness? You know, you can't always trust your conscience, but you can always trust your conscience in this situation. Watch what he said. My conscience bear me witness, not just in anything, but in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God's going to keep me straight on this one, is what he's saying. Amen. Not going to let me lie to myself. Because we are prone to do that. And we're prone to make things, well, you know what, I can't do it all. God doesn't want me to do it all. God wants me to do what I can do and what I should do. And so there's a conscientiousness. Have you talked to anybody this past week about Jesus? You don't have to answer that to me. You don't have to answer that to the person sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you. You answer that to you. Who did I talk to this week? Who was on my heart that I talked to about Jesus? Who did I see? And listen, what is a conscientiousness of souls, preacher? When you say a conscientiousness, I'll tell you what it is. When you go to the grocery store, you remember every person you see in that grocery store has a soul. And every person in that grocery store, every person in that convenience store, every person in that workplace, every person in that schoolhouse, every person in the church house, every person that is alive has a soul. And that soul is going to answer to God one day. I just have to keep that in mind. Sometimes, you know what one of my greatest problems is? Listen, I have many. But one of my greatest problems is this. I just need to slow down. I'm just running and running and running. You know, I've got to get to point A to get to point B. And if I'm not careful, you know, the devil will say, well, you don't have time to stop and talk to that person. I don't have time not to. I need to stop and talk to people. People are dying and going to hell. If nothing else, get a gospel tract and tell them, you know, hey, Jesus loves you. Read this. It'll tell you how you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes just from that conversation alone. You know, it was interesting. I made it a point, and listen, I have a little bit of an advantage, a little bit. I've been reading these scriptures months in advance, preparing for messages, and God has been just speaking to my heart. And so I've been, you know, tracts. And so this past week, we were handing out tracts to people, and it's amazing. You know what? Not one single person. Are you listening? The devil will tell you, nobody wants to hear the gospel. Out of at least, just this past week, at least a dozen people over the last 3 or 4 days, over a dozen people, not one person said, get that stuff out of here. I don't want to hear about it. Not one person, brother. See, the devil's a liar. I'm not saying that people won't say, no, get that out of here. I don't want to hear anything about that. It's like D.L. Moody when he witnessed to a man about Jesus, and he said, sir, he said, I'd like to ask you about your soul. And he said, hey, you mind your business. He said, sir, I am. This is my business. God has called me for the souls of men. This is my business. Can I tell you it's your business too? We're in the soul business. Amen. And we need to become conscientious that everyone around us has a soul. And every soul has a need. And if that soul does not have Jesus, the need is, listen, it is so great that one day when they stand before God, their knee is going to bow that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it's going to be too late. I sure don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ with their blood on my hands. And I don't think you do either. Can you think of three people? In your family, maybe? Your extended family, your workplace, your school, your neighborhood? I don't know. Your neighbors? I don't know. If you can, here in just a few moments when we have an invitation, I put some gospel tracts up here. Now listen, you can win souls without a gospel tract. But these do come in handy. I tell people often when I hand them this tract, and I tell them with sincerity, I believe that this church right here is a great church. Not because of its pastor. The pastor's not the church. The people are the church. And if you miss coming to this church, you're going to miss something good, because these are good folks here. It's a good church, good ministry. But now you're not going to miss it all if you never come to this church. However, this will tell you how to get to Fellowship Baptist Church. This will tell you how to get to heaven. And there's the plan of salvation on the back of this. If you miss Fellowship Baptist Church, you'll miss a little something. But if you miss heaven, you'll miss it all. Please read this so you don't miss it. 2 minutes. And yet the devil will say, you don't have time. You've got to get to your next appointment. You've got to get over here. You've got to do that. They don't want to hear the lies go on and on. I'm not the only one who lies to, am I, brother? Say, preacher, I don't believe the devil's lies. Then how many people did you tell about Jesus last week? I'm just asking. I'm not trying to guilt anyone. I'm not. I just want you to look at Paul again, chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. Don't lie to yourself now. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have a burden for souls. So number one, a conscientiousness. Number two, let's move right into, from a conscientiousness, let's look what he said here. Look at verse number two. He said, my conscience is bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. What's it telling you, Paul? That I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. I thought verse 1 was cutting me to pieces until I got to verse 2. Paul said, I'm troubled. I'm troubled that there's so many people around me that do not know Jesus. I don't want you to take some of the statements I'm getting ready to make wrong. I don't want you to take them wrong, so I'm going to preface them with just a few comments. I believe in voting. I believe that if you do not vote, you are not only shirking a privilege, you're shirking a responsibility that you have to your country and to your fellow countrymen. I believe we ought to hold people accountable. We've had folks come here. We try to encourage. We have Dan. We have others who try to get people signed up to vote. We try to encourage people to vote. I believe you ought to vote. But I think the greatest way that you can help America is get people saved. I believe saved people want to do what's right. Amen. 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 You cannot legislate righteousness. But when people get saved, they sure do want to do right. So, well, I got saved and I don't want to do right. You need to check up on what you really got. You get saved, you want to do right. Amen. So, Paul said, I have a great heaviness. I want to talk to you about compassion. The first word I gave you was conscientiousness. Be conscious that that little girl behind that cash register has a soul. And she needs somebody to tell her about Jesus. That that gentleman on the workplace that seems rough and gruff and wants nothing to do with religion, he has a soul. And he needs somebody to tell him about Jesus. There was a day in your life as a person with a soul, you needed someone to tell you about Jesus. Aren't you glad they did? Amen. Aren't you glad they did? Amen. Paul said, my heart's heavy. Look at it here in verse number two. I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow. See, compassion is your pain in my heart. That's the greatest definition. Dr. Ron Comfort, a man who we have preach here, many years ago, I heard him give that definition of compassion, and it stuck with me because I believe it. Compassion is me feeling your pain. Remember when you were lost? Remember when you were searching? Remember when you were without direction and purpose in your life and your sins were mounting and you were under the condemnation of sin? How that you were set free when someone gave you the gospel of Jesus Christ and you trusted Christ by faith? And you were delivered and set free. Don't you want to see others be set free? Don't you want to help someone else know that peace that passeth all understanding? Sure you do. Sure you do. And yet if we're not careful, the flesh and the world and the devil will give us every reason and every excuse why we couldn't and shouldn't do it. But none of those will work when we stand before God. Our conscience bears us witness and our compassion. Our compassion is what will make the difference. Jude said, having compassion. On some, having compassion, making a difference. I read the story this past week of a man many years ago who had committed a crime worthy of the death penalty. And right before he was executed, they called in a minister. And the minister who was on call went in and he flipped open his Bible and half-heartedly began to read the 23rd Psalm to the man who was to be executed. And the man to be executed stopped him about midway through the 23rd Psalm and he said, excuse me, sir, excuse me. He said, you can stop reading that. He said, you don't believe what you're reading me. And he said, you know what? If you and your churches believed what was in that book you're reading to me from, he said, if this whole city, if its streets were lined in glass, You'd be willing to walk over that glass from coast to coast to tell people about the wrath that is to come if they do not accept Jesus Christ. He said, so it's not real to you. Can I tell you that the world can tell when it's real to us, brethren? They can tell. So what I'm preaching this morning is not just come and get you a bunch of tracts and go out and pass them out like you do, you know, free Chick-fil-A cards. That's not what I'm saying. The message here today is not just about conscientious. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. It's not just being conscientious that people have a soul and that souls without Christ die in their sin and go to hell. The message is we need to get a burden. Somehow, some way, we need to get a burden. The church needs her tears again. God forgive us of lukewarmness, of going through the motions, of just checking the box, of just saying, well, I passed out 4 tracts today. I've done my duty as a Christian. I don't want to be that, and I don't think you do either. Paul said in verse number 2, he said, I have a great heaviness. Do you? Do I? It's real. Have a great heaviness. Has God laid someone on your heart, even as I preached this morning? You know, that reminds me, and you fill in the blank, my nephew, my cousin, my grandmother, my grandson, my neighbor, my co-worker, the person who sits to me in school. It could be a number of people. It may be somebody that you don't even know. But when you look in their face, God breaks your heart for their soul. And you begin to tell them with a burden that Jesus loves them. Paul said in verse number 2, he said, I have a great heaviness. I don't have the time to go through all of what I would like to at this point, but I do want to show you a couple of things. Would you take your Bible and turn to Exodus, just for a moment, Exodus chapter 32. Can I tell you that there's something about walking with God that gives us this heaviness? In Exodus 32, we have a man by the name of Moses. Moses was working with the people. They were stiff-necked. I mean, they were a mixed multitude. And they just did not want to do what God said to do. And sometimes, listen, folks like that can make you kind of angry. Yeah. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, instead of having a burden for the world, we get angry at the world. Come on, folks. And instead of realizing, man, these people need Jesus and they need us to help them, we'll condemn them and we'll run them down. But I want to show you what a man with a burden does. Exodus 32, if you don't know anything about the backdrop of this story, I'm not going to go into it because of time, but I encourage you to read it. The children of Israel, God's people, a mixed multitude in reality, have just been stiff-necked and they've gone against what God said, and there were those that did not want to follow, and they just, listen, they basically said, we don't want anything to do with God. And so they made him a god of gold. They made him a golden calf. And the scripture says here that Moses went up to intercede. In verse number 31 of Exodus 32, verse number 31, the Bible says this, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And you see that little line there before the semicolon? You know what's going on? You can read commentator to commentator to commentator, and you'll get different things. And basically, it just appears that Moses is under such a heavy burden, just like what Paul said, you know, I just have a heaviness of heart. He said, I just don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to approach you about this. I just know they have a need that only you can meet. I can't do anything for these people. And that's why I'm coming to you. Brethren, can I tell you, The church can put on every kind of air that we can put on. We can put all the welcome signs out front we want to put, and we should welcome people. We should be warm and cordial to people. We should be evangelistic and loving to people. But we do not have what it takes in ourselves to meet the need of man. We need God to get involved. And Moses went before God and he said, God, if you don't do something. And then he said something like this. Look, if you would, in verse number 32. He said, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And then he paused and he said, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. I believe Moses really meant that, brethren. Now, that is impossible, by the way. There's only one that can receive the punishment and the penalty for sin of man, and he already has done that, and his name is Jesus. Amen. I want you to turn to Jeremiah, and I'll just give you a couple of these, and then I'll hasten before we close. Turn, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter number 9. I could give you several times. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And here's a prophet who looked out over his people and he said, man, these people have gone astray. They're wicked and they need help. And I don't possess, as a prophet, as a preacher, I don't have what it takes to help them. And so he went to God in Jeremiah chapter 9. Notice what the prophet said. He was asking himself and saying to himself sometimes, what I think we all should. I know I have been here where I say, God, you know, why don't I care anymore? I mean, I should have a greater concern. I do care about people. I care about souls. I care about sinners. I care about you. But God, I want to care more. You ever been there? I need to care more. I want to care more. Look in chapter number 9 of Jeremiah. He said, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. He said, you know, he said, there's just a need and it's great. And God, we just need you to help me. God, I need you to do something. Even the Lord Jesus, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter number, if you would, turn to Matthew 27 just for a moment. And we'll get back to Romans 9 before we give you a couple more words and finish up. Matthew 23, I said 27, but Matthew 23, verse 37. This is Jesus himself. Jesus is looking out over the city of Jerusalem. And in Matthew 23, I want to give everyone an opportunity to find it. I want you to see our Savior who is looking out. And I believe with all of my heart, though the Bible doesn't say Jesus is weeping, I believe that he's weeping. I believe his heart is broken. And he says in chapter 23 of the book of Matthew, look at verse number 37. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He's just saying, my people, the people of my nationality, my nation, my chosen people. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It's like he's saying, I have a burden for you. I'm burdened. So that's the kind of burden we need. The burden of a Moses, as we go back to Romans 9, the burden of a Jeremiah, a burden of the Lord Jesus, the burden of Paul. We need some tears. We need some concern. We need some compassion to where we care about the state of other people. Number one, the word I'd like for you to remember and take home with you is conscientiousness. God, would you help me today and moving forward to be more conscientious that people around me are going to be somewhere for eternity? They're going to be somewhere forever. Because when God made man, he did, listen, search it. He did not make man a living being. That's not what the Bible says. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, it says that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. soul. And the soul of man will reside somewhere forever. And so there's conscientiousness. Help me to be conscious about it. Number two, there's compassion. Help me to be compassionate. Help me to understand that when people strike out at me or tell me no or turn away or say, I don't want your gospel tract, that it's just the enemy. Listen, the enemy's real, brethren. Amen. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and destroy. Satan wants to destroy people. He wants to damn people. And he doesn't want us to intervene and get involved. And so he'll try to tell us, just leave them alone. Don't you leave them alone. I'm so glad that somebody didn't leave me alone. Amen. I'm glad God didn't leave me alone. Aren't you? The third word is continual. Would you write that word down? See, I've done it myself. I've sit where you are. I've sit in my study, and I'll read scriptures like this, and I'll begin to study, and God will begin to work in my heart, and I'll get me a pocket full of tracts, and for a week or 2 weeks or a month, I'll be passing out tracts, and before long, if I'm not careful, that burden will start dying down some, and I'll start waning, and before long, I need somebody to remind me again, hey, you have a responsibility to the souls of men. I want you to look at a word that Paul uses in verse number 2 that really stuck out to me. He said that I have a great heaviness, look at this, and a continual sorrow in my heart. Paul just kept at it, didn't he? God help me to keep at it. God help me to keep at it. Not just as your pastor, but as God's servant. I want to keep at it. I want to keep at doing what I know that God expects me to do. And if God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and he did, Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost, God wants me to do it because he's conforming me and you that are saved into the image of his son. I want to have a continual. I don't want it to be a flash in the pan. I don't. But now I must be honest with myself. If I'm not careful, that's exactly what will happen. It's exactly what will happen. And so would you pray with me, God, help me to continually be conscientious about the needs of people and to continually have a compassionate heart to reach people with the gospel. Now I'm going to close with this. Here's our final word. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. I believe if we'll be conscientious, if we'll be compassionate, and if we'll have a continual sorrow for the need of man, we will come to this place in our life. Look at verse number 3. It says that, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And he said, in verse number 4, he said, they're Israelites. It's my people. That's my people. They don't know the Messiah. They don't know Jesus. And I want them to know him. They think they're outside the scope of what he can do for them. Can I tell you, a lot of people feel that way. The devil has a lot of people duped in believing, well, you know, church is not for me. I'm not inviting you to church. I'm inviting you to Jesus. I'm not talking to you about religion. I speak this morning about a relationship. A relationship with the God of heaven, your maker, your creator. And it can only come through Jesus Christ. It's going to cost you something. The word I'd like you to write down is costly. So number one, conscientious. God help me, God help you. Let's be conscientious about the souls of people. That person that you meet, whether they seem grouchy, whether they seem friendly, whether they seem religious, whether they seem non-religious, let's be conscientious that they have a soul, and we need to reach out to them with the gospel. Number two, compassionate. Whether they're nice or unkind, whether they receive or reject, be compassionate. Be compassionate toward them. Feel what they feel. Remember now, there's an enemy that has them locked in deception, just like he had you one day. Amen. You listening to me? Just like he had you one day. Number three, continual. I'm going to do it. and then by Wednesday be right back. Don't do that. God, help me to have a continual sorrow. But now it's going to cost you something. You can close your Bible and look right up this way. You say, preacher, do you believe? Do you believe that when the Apostle Paul said that he would wish himself accursed for his kinsmen according to the flesh, that he was saying that he would be willing to go to hell for his people? I sure do. Can he do that? No. There's no need to. Somebody already has. Jesus. But I believe what he felt was real. I believe that he was saying, there's no extent to which I wouldn't go. Can I tell you, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The love doesn't get any higher on the scale than that. Paul had reached the pinnacle. Where's your love on the scale? What are you willing to give up that someone else might hear the gospel? What am I? A good time? A meal? Have you fasted a meal for a lost person? You say, well, I'm real concerned about that person. You know, I'm just going to be real with you right here. If you hadn't been willing to give up something, whether it's your time, your pleasure, your food, if you haven't been willing to give up something for that person, I want you to be really, listen, I want you to be real with you. I'm going to be real with you. I want you to be real with you. I'm going to be real with me. If I'm not willing to give up something that somebody might hear the gospel, I'm going to have to really question if I have a heavy burden and a continual sorrow for their soul. My neighbor gets in at 7, but that's what time my favorite television program comes in, and I'm not giving up my favorite television program, go over and tell them about Jesus. Then you're not willing to pay the price that they might hear the gospel. We have to be real. We have to be real. I don't like rejection, and so I'm not going to put myself in a position to where I'll be rejected or I'll be embarrassed in front of someone. You're not willing to pay the price. I'm not willing to pay the price. It's going to cost you something to get the gospel out there. I'm just leveling with you. As you stand to your feet, I want to tell you about a book that I came across in a store one time. I didn't even think like a millisecond, do I want to buy this book? I'm a book buying machine. I love to read. And so I'm in this bookstore, and there was this book there, and it said, Soul Women Made Easy. I said, nope. There's no such thing. There is a war going on between heaven and hell for the souls of men. And anybody tells you that soul winning is easy is lying to you. There is a battle raging. A battle. Good and evil, heaven and hell, right and wrong. So when someone tells you, oh, we can make this easy for you, you don't believe them. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost us something. If we're going to rescue the perishing and care for the dying, if we're going to snatch them with pity from hell of the flame, it's going to cost us something. And so don't you let someone tell you, I'll show you how to make it easy. That'll never happen. It'll never happen. Would you bow your head with me? I preach the message that God laid on my heart now. And I've tried to be faithful to do that. I've tried not to try. I don't want to shame anybody. That's not my goal. That's not my purpose. I want to challenge some people, but not shame. God challenged my heart. I need to do better. And with the help of God and by the grace of God, I'm going to do better. I don't want it to be a flash in the pan. I don't want it to be just some emotional uprising. I want it to be something that's real in my heart, and I want to respond to the challenge of the Holy Spirit, and I want to do better at sharing the gospel with other people.